Bam! Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe. Osh. Yes. It always feels good. I know, I don't think it's ever going to get old, but today's episode is one of my favorites, which is from the Passport series. So the Passport series is just something I learned from the United States, where we, as participants, collected stories around our country and posted them on this platform. And everybody collected their stories, and we all had to travel to different countries on a specific and special platform we're all on. And this is what the Passport series is about. It's about me collecting stories about all my Susi sisters around the world, from my cohort, from my institute, from different institute, to also our professors and facilitators. So yeah, this is the Passport series. I'd also like to mention that this is not supported by the State Department, the U.S. Embassy, and the Madeleine O'Brien Institute. So that's the Susi program we're at. So with nothing but no ado, guys, this has to be one of my favorite series I'll ever come up with. And today's guest is my homegirl, my favorite sister. She's such a sweetheart and very outspoken. Through her work, you get to learn that if you keep going and push through a lot of things, you can actually make it. She's very inspiring, and I hope you all get to get inspired in this conversation, because we have all the juice for you. Oh, I actually played Taylor Swift for her. So fun! But hey, so hi Farin, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And this has been a long time coming. I am super excited that we finally get to do this. And you're my favorite too. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm just really, really excited to get into it. I'm scared a bit because Aka knows me a bit too much, so I can't lie. So, but yeah, I'm really excited and just, yeah.
So the other disclaimer is, you just said you're my favorite too. And we have other favorite Susi sisters. I love you guys so much.
No, everyone is my favorite. Like all my sisters are my favorite. Like all of them are my favorite. You guys hold special places in my heart. Please don't hate me.
Say, to be honest, don't say all. That's a stretch. I will not get into that.
The problem is Aka knows me too well, so... But yeah, okay. Oh, wait. Yeah, my peoples, especially shout out to most of my girls, especially those that we got to meet from different countries. You all were so nice. So yeah, shout out to you guys.
I like how you have rephrased that. That's very smart. I keep asking myself, am I allowed to call people on my podcast? It's getting interesting every single year. Because we're on the topic, what was your favorite country to visit during the Passport series?
It's always difficult. Guys, whatever I'm about to say, please, it's not a reflection of how much I like any of you. Please don't hate me before I say this. But I think one of my favorite countries to visit was definitely Morocco.
I knew it. I was about to say Morocco. I love you, Omeima. I was gonna say Morocco because Morocco.
My Habibi, shout out to you, Habibi. But Morocco, because I think it was really interesting, because sometimes you create this persona of what African countries are like because you yourself are from Africa, but then you get to one, meet the people, and then get to read about it, watch it, prepare a whole presentation about this country, and then you learn that there's actually so much more about it. You get to learn about the food, about the culture, about even the way they do their weddings, their material. It gives you such a different perspective about the various cultures we have, even in Africa, and just makes you appreciate Africa even a bit more. So yeah, definitely Morocco was one of my favorites. All of the countries were my favorite, but Morocco was
No, it's okay to have one
top.
favorite. It's okay. Please don't take it away from Morocco. And one thing about Morocco was I didn't know it was the Hollywood of Africa. And
Yeah.
I plan to visit Morocco. It's on my countries this year because me and my mom are
Yes.
supposed to have our vacation. Yeah. So it's like there's so much, like it's like you're living in Cape Town. Huh? It's like there's so much to do and places to visit.
Yeah,
Just
exactly. And the culture is just so rich. The food is, I've never seen people who love bread that much, but just saying, y'all love bread a little too much, but
it's a little too much.
yeah, but
There's
it's
that
just
great thing by Oprah. I love bread. Bread.
it's just even just their education system and how it works. I think one of my mentors told me something. They said sometimes varying how people think is because of how exposed they've been. And I think just amazing work, by the way, that you're doing with the Passport Series, Akka, is you're bringing the world to people. And I think that helps people get exposed to what else is in the world, because sometimes it's so easy to become so comfortable in where you are, in the place that you are at, that you don't know that there's so much more out there. You even learn a bit more about yourself. I mean, me and Akka were having a conversation before this, and there's a way that exposure to travel just even teaches you stuff about yourself you didn't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of my favorite things about the Diary 101 is surprisingly, I'm having so many international guests. I'm like, oh, I really do have international people or people I can always ask and come with different experiences, who travel a lot, who do different stuff. So the Passport Series is special because even if you're not part of the SUSI program, you get a glimpse of what study for the United States Institute does for young women around the world. And even if you don't get the opportunity to be part of it, you start to learn about what other young people around the world are doing and you get inspired. And that's one thing. I know I'm laying back and cutting off a lot of stuff in my life this winter, right? But this is one of my favorites because I'm like, I actually enjoy collecting stories. I actually enjoy talking to so many people. So yeah, thank you so much, Marin.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay,
So
now I'm dreading the question. Let's go.
it's
I'm dreading questions. But let's go. Let's go.
you inspire me so much. You're one of those friends where like all my friends are this way, right? You get to see me once in a leap year. Once when you get to convince me to attend an event that I'm mutually there,
Yeah.
because as an adult, the only way you can actually meet up with your friends is mutually at an event or a date that you keep canceling every single time. So,
Wow, guys, wow.
I know that's a reflection of our relationship right now. But my thought process is, what's your favorite childhood memory of yourself that when you look back, you kind of go like, ah, I really did believe in myself, and it kind of makes sense that I turned out the way I turned out.
Let me see. My late mom, my favorite childhood memories, a lot of them really revolve around her. Interestingly, that this should be my favorite memory, but I remember I had done something really silly and my mom beats me like, yo. And then when we're
As an
done,
African parent.
and when we're done and I was crying. And I remember her feeling so bad and then sitting me down and like, we don't do this because of this, right? And bad behavior gets punishment. And I remember after it, and I apologized to her and I apologized to my aunt. I think, in fact, no, to the help who I was being rude to. she kind of had the conversation with me about how it doesn't matter who a person is, we're supposed to be kind to everybody. I've grown up with that very principle, right? So whether it's a waitress, whether it's the help, whether it's the gardener, whether it's the guard, no ma even if I'm paying someone, I'm always really nice to them, because one of the things my mom taught me at that point was, just because someone is in a circumstance that quote unquote might feel lower than you does not make them any less of a person than you. And I think that's really guided my life. I try as much as possible to give people an opportunity and accommodate everyone. Of course, they're just those ones who, here, you can try. But they just have refused. But you try. At least the important thing is that I've tried. But
I know those people. We know them. Yes, we do.
yeah. Yeah, so that for me is that for me is like really cardinal. It's just like treat everyone well, treat them with respect. Yeah, a funny story I'll tell you guys for free was, I think me and Aka met at the airport, and we just, I mean, we didn't have much to say because we're both apprehensive. Like, who's this? Who's this? I think we met the first time at the embassy, but never
So
really
we met the
spoke.
first, like, wait, sorry to catch you. We met at the first time at the embassy, and I was in the
Yeah.
press that month. It was actually this month
Yeah.
or month end of May. I lost my grandfather that week, so we had to. I was at the funeral, so the funeral was close to the embassy. So I had school, funeral, and traveled to the United States. You can imagine for somebody doing and running a whole household because my mom is not in Zambia. So you can imagine juggling all that. So I didn't make good impressions on a lot of people, I hear. Caught, I say. But yeah, go on with the story first.
Yeah, so yeah, I think we met at the airport like officially, and I remember just like, look, well, traveling might as well. When we started talking to each other, we're like, oh, okay, have you done this? And we spoke, and I remember that flight was long. Yo, especially to Dubai, it was longer than
We
necessary,
went
and
to
we're
Qatar,
seated.
by the way, not
Oh,
Dubai. We went
Qatar.
to Qatar.
You know, why am
Went
I thinking about Dubai? But Dubai would be nice. I think it's because I'm just thinking about a holiday in Dubai.
on a yacht,
But
offshore, personality.
we went
Sorry.
to Qatar, and I remember we did sit on the same, what did we sit on the same seat on that flight? I don't remember.
No, so the Qatar one, we sat
Oh
straight
yeah,
on each other
straight
on the
on.
window.
Yeah.
The
Yeah, and I
longest
remember.
one was from Doha to America. That flight was
Yes.
around,
So and I remember we just
sat on the
did our
same.
thing. Yeah, we did our thing and we sat and we just talked, like really spoke. And we got stuck in the flight from
New York to
DC.
DC.
Yeah, New
Oh my
York
goodness.
to like,
Traumatized.
we were in a flight for about an hour plus. It was heading into 2 hours and we're just literally
And it was
stuck in the
cold.
plane. Exactly. And it was really cold in the plane because it was supposed to be a really short flight. And we were
45
stuck.
minutes
We
tops.
couldn't, yeah. Like we couldn't take off. And imagine you're just there. And I remember her being so nice, be like, do you need a blanket? Are you sure you're okay? And when we got eventually, a very big eventually,
Landed in DC.
I remember I was exhausted because I get motion
I
sickness,
wanted
and I was,
to
yeah, I was on, I took a few pills to help me with my motion sickness, and I was exhausted. They made me really exhausted. I get really exhausted. And I remember I went to sleep. Everyone else was, especially those who had arrived earlier than us, were going out to eat, and I just was exhausted. I took a bath and I slept. I think my roommate was like, have you eaten? I'm like, yes, leave me alone. Bye. But I
cry.
remember Aka literally went to get me food with her money. Let me put out there, let me embarrass her a bit too. And she brought it to me and forced me to eat and said, you can't sleep on a hungry stomach. And this is, mind you, someone I met in like, what, 2 days, 3 days? I haven't known them for more than 2 days. And it just goes back to that, the very principle of being nice to someone. You never know who you will need, or someone that might help you, or someone who might actually be know the person you need to speak to. That's a separate conversation between me and Appa, by the way. You never know, like the person who you may never know that that person is related to the person you've actually been wanting to speak to.
Caution.
Yeah, so it's all those little things that people take advantage of, like, oh, no one is really better than another person. Doesn't matter what season of life you're in, right? There's always something you can learn. There's always something to grasp from another person. And I think I learned that earlier on from my mom. So, yeah.
And I think I want to touch on some of the things you mentioned about how, so I tend not to be too nice to people sometimes if they're not nice to me. And I always have conversations with my mentors, and they always remind me about how kindness, going, giving more grace to people, especially those that you think are not at your level. Because just because you think you're better than anybody or you're doing better than somebody doesn't mean you should treat them less human. It takes me back to the thing you said. Sometimes, and this is taking a really drastic turn from our conversation, but it's very important. So sometimes, you're nice to people, right? And takes me back to a conversation I was having with my friend earlier today to say we punish people for their sin more than once. Like you sin once, right? You make a mistake once, but for the same mistake, you want to be punished so many times. And that's like so human of us. And it also teaches you to say, if you've tried your best to being nice to people or going an extra mile for people and they do not return the favor, it's okay to set up boundaries to really eliminate those people. And we had this in our cohort where it was a very surprising, like there were 23 nice girls, guys. But everybody had boundaries to say, I did not like what you did with this, and I did not like what you did with that. And everybody always used to say, so we like the no gossiping policy. We like no one wanted to find themselves talking about somebody else. It just ruins everything. It's like, if you're telling me that person is not good, I might sit next to them tomorrow. I have to like them because I'm sitting next to somebody for 8 hours in class. So we had the no gossiping policy. Yeah, people probably used to talk about people, but it wasn't evil. It was just like, oh, did you see what this person does? But mostly every time you'd want to gossip, someone would always tell you, say, oh, I did not like what this person did. The person would say, go up and tell them that they're making you uncomfortable and set up your boundaries straight up. And that's one thing I liked about America. And that's one thing I liked about our relationship because we were able to, like, I call out people now. You and I now learned that. As long as I'm not insulting you, I'll call you out. So, me, I call out everybody, my clients, my bosses, my family. I've been here calling out people and I'm like, am I doing it too much? But it's something I just really thought of. Highlighting about boundaries and just knowing the thin line between kindness and just setting your boundaries straight. Yeah.
Most definitely. I think we, and that's something that's not talked about a little bit more. The thing is, there's just some people who will never change and will always be the same. But at the same time, we have the responsibility to just make sure we call out someone on stuff we feel like, okay, no, this is you crossing the boundaries, right? And that's very okay. That's okay. Like you calling out someone, people shouldn't make you feel terrible about you calling out someone, because if and when someone kind of crosses the line, you have all the right to say, look, I really didn't appreciate this. And if they don't change, that's on them. That's no longer a you thing. And like Aka said, we between I and Aka, we have a very honest relationship. Like if I do something that Aka didn't appreciate, she will call me out on it, whether I accept it or not, or whether I feel terrible about it or not. It's the situation of just being really open and honest. And I do same. I'm like, I didn't appreciate that, right? And this really helped us, you know, this really, really helped us, because at that point, I know I'm safe. Like, even if I got hurt at some point, I'm like, it makes me a better person. So I have many dates that I have not fulfilled,
I am
but
connecting because I am very much available for you, Madame Lisa.
yes.
Winter is the day you can have it all. No, that's a lie though. But yeah, we can schedule that. But when you say that, it's something I also like to highlight, and mostly in my friendship circle, we always say this: just because you feel like you don't appreciate something at a certain moment doesn't mean the person you want to have the conversation with is ready to have the conversation with. It's knowing the difference and knowing the type of relationship. Sometimes it's okay not to have conversations with people and just cut them off point blank, right? And sometimes it's important to have the conversations with people, reach out, and if they don't reach out back, it's okay to just not pursue that. And there are certain people who I just write a statement to. I'm letting you know about how I feel. Because certain people sometimes, it also depends with relationships. Certain people sometimes, and this is always my relationship with my siblings, I can't cut you off. You know what I mean? Like, I don't appreciate what you did. And I wish I could cut you off. I can't. But then I will write to you and say, I do not appreciate what you did at this moment. I don't like what you said. I don't like how you said it. It doesn't matter who you are. In the world here, we don't do that here. And they'll see that message and they might not respond. But I know eventually they'll come back. And when they come back, I won't be a bitter person. Yeah, because then like being bitter is thinking, being bitter about something or someone hurt is thinking, I'll drink poison and it will hurt somebody else. It won't. It will just make you more miserable. And speaking about communication, you have a long line in communication. You work for one of my favorite companies in Zambia, which is Bongo Hive.
Sure. Whoop,
Drum roll,
shout out to us. Shout
please.
out
The day I get you
to
employers on my podcast, I think I've made it in life. I need to listen to this. Yeah, so you work for one of my favorite companies, which is Bongo Hive. I've been admiring Bongo Hive since I was so young. Attended some of their events, and now I get to go to places and meet them and say hi. I don't think they know me. Yeah, kind of makes sense, right, guys? But I admire how Bongo Hive has created and brought in technology in Zambia. I admire. I always say Bongo Hive knows how to create events. I know you're behind the events, by the way, but I've always said if I'm attending a networking event in a month, I'll probably attend the Bongo Hive event because it's 2 hours. It's good networking. They have a really good networking system. And yeah, I'm really going to be enriched. I met one of my mentors through Bongo Hive. I met two of my mentors at Bongo Hive, which should say a lot. Just realized both of my mentors were speaking at Bongo Hive. One was online and the other one was physical. And I'm like, dang, Bongo Hive really is a resource of innovation, if I may say, if that's the right term. And you being behind of communication and some of the events that happen, tell me like a little bit of background of you navigating that.
I think it's communication, even just right now, has evolved, and I think people are kind of appreciating the art of communications, whether digital communications or just communications with partners. And my journey has evolved. I mean, my background was entertainment and a lot of I used to be a presenter, so a lot of TV and news and radio, and then now navigating to be the one who communicates with those people. And Bongo Hive is a bit more different, so it allowed for me to step into the corporate space. I think the thing with communication is you have to understand who you're communicating to, right? It's very important. Even in whether in a relationship, in a business partnership, you not two people are the same, not two audiences are the same, not two partners are the same. The mistake, the greatest mistake you can make as a communicator is bracketing everyone as the same. So even the way you send your emails, even the way you make your presentations, even the way you prepare your speeches for your bosses, it has to be very different because the art, communication is an art. So one, you have to be very, you have to keep up with the times. You have to learn. There are trends happening all the time. There are courses that are available all the time. But the main thing is you have to understand who and why you're communicating with a certain type of people. And you have to then streamline your communication that way. Same goes with digital communications. I mean, the times are changing every day. Trends on different social media platforms are changing. You, as a communicator, have to stay on top of the trends. You have to continuously understand your personas, and it's a never-ending journey of learning, right? So, yeah.
So, I like how you're like communication is an art. I was recording with some lady from Mauritius, one of our guests yesterday. I'm really recording a lot of episodes, but I was recording with one of our guests yesterday, and we were talking about digital leadership. And you are speaking the same language, but differently, if that makes any sense, right? Have you had any thoughts about, have you come across the term digital leadership? And I, because it's part of what you're talking about, I just realized that I've done a lot of research on it and realized to say, oh, you actually are in the space of digital leadership. So what's your thought on digital leadership? Have you come across it? Because I feel like you've come across it because you work at Bongo Hive. It's Bongo Hive.
I think one of the things the Sushi program taught us was how leadership is in everything, and it's not based off title, and it's not based off your career goals. So digital leadership is basically how are you using, not just using, but how are you strategically using your digital assets, either as an organization, as a company, in this case as Bongo Hive with the community. How am I utilizing the digital assets we currently have? How am I utilizing the different emerging technologies that currently exist? How am I using all that to achieve the business goals of the company? Or how am I taking a digital approach with the organization? But at the end of it, it's really how am I taking everything around me and the assets available, the people I'm working with in the digital space, how am I doing that and guiding that digital approach towards achieving the business goals of an organization? So, yeah.
That makes so much. And one thing I learned from Yali was how the only one so good thing about being in Africa, being in Zambia, is we haven't tested out a lot of things the European countries have tested out, like the Western countries. Like they are far beyond and they're doing all this cool stuff. And as this is when we're learning about these new concepts. So it means there's space for innovation, there's space for new businesses because we're bringing the Western concepts to Africa, to Zambia to be specific, and we are tailoring them to our problems and challenges we're facing as a country, as a continent. And that's what digital leadership is. So, if a lot of leaders, including you and I, were to move at the rate the Western countries are at, by tailoring the solutions to our continent and country, Africa would also be moving at a very fast rate. So it's just, and this is one thing I like about podcasting, like you learn new stuff all the time from your guests. And yeah, I really do like that. And one thing I love about Bongo Hive is Bongo Hive has a wide range of different partners and stakeholders. It, not just in Zambia, right? It really has navigated and gotten into different countries in Africa and the world and around the world. And yeah, so how do you navigate working with different stakeholders around the world?
Like you rightly said, I have the rare opportunity at Bongo Hive to be the community and partnerships associate. So you do get to interact with different people, whether on a strategic level as partners or even just during our events. I think it really just goes back to the art of communication. You have to understand who you're talking to, know your people. I think one of the things that me and Aka learned, even during our SUSE program, was in our communications class, was don't just go into a meeting. And these are lessons even that Madeleine K. Albright had in her diplomatic toolbox. You don't just get into a meeting not knowing who you're even meeting, not knowing the person you're meeting. I mean, these days, almost everyone who's in the corporate space is on LinkedIn one way or another, or on just a social media platform where they have a website or their company has a website. Do your research about the person. Don't just show up. Don't just show up out of nowhere. Do your research, right? Read up on the person, either on their LinkedIn, understand their interests, understand their goals, understand what they want to do, maybe as a company, read about their organization, listen to interviews they've done. It gives you a very good idea about who the person is and also allows for you to know how to communicate to that person and even some of the things that the person is passionate about. I think it also just helps you get a better yes when you're talking to people from that place rather than getting into the place very unprepared. I think it just doesn't even show courtesy at all that you, it's like interviewing, it's like calling someone for an interview who you have absolutely no idea about. In the end, it's like, why did you call me if you don't know about me? You get what I mean? So it's really an art, and it's an art you really have to navigate its complexities. But it's beautiful at the end of the day when you start to get the hang of it. I hate coloring, by the way, so I don't know why I keep using abacus as the word. I can tell you, I hate color absolutely. Everyone else found it coming. It gave me
Annoying.
anxiety. Like, yo, he gave me anxiety. I
No, but
hated coloring.
I'm about to go buy crayons and color my Susie book.
Nah,
I am like literally, I am going to get colors. Like I need to go to Book World and buy a book and buy crayons. I keep telling myself, buy some crayons, Aga. It also you appreciate what we had and what that moment was teaching you when you're not there. And I also had a habit of going in things blind, not knowing who I'm speaking to. I think it's different now because I have to be very businesslike and strategic. I just can't go in a meeting blank. Yeah. So, and just also reading extensively. And that's one thing I liked about my our communication class and branding, because then we had like sessions with like top people and they teach you about this stuff and you go like, how I want to be perceived and how I do my communication is different. For example, no one ever knows what's really happening in my life as Akka as an individual.
No, Aka is a mystery. Aka is a mystery we haven't solved. She's a puzzle we haven't solved. Even I get shocked. You're not the only, everyone else was listening. You're not the only people who get shocked. Even I get shocked. I'm like, Aka, when did you even do this? So.
And that's part of my branding, right? The mystery behind the art of working and the art of like putting in the work and putting in the foundation so that I'm not just speaking from base. If I say I want this and I deserve this, you know I do because instead of my social media speaking for me, my work does. So you kind of have to pick your value proposition and your competitive advantage against other people. I was having this like on the episode I was recording, we were talking about strategy and how you set yourself apart from people. And I would just want to know what's your strategy as Farren and what is your competitive advantage, your value proposition, and what do you think Bongo Hive's strategy is in their value proposition?
Interesting question. I'll start with Bongo Hive. Number one is the fact that we have always been an evolving organization. I think that for me is even why I'm really proud to be a part of it. Bongo Hive was one of the, is the first tech and innovation hub in Zambia, and we've been around for what, close to 14 years now. But the organization has continued to evolve and grow and take new forms. I think that, and our value proposition is everyone who passes through Bongo Hive, the difference is there, like evidence is there of a difference. My value proposition as Farron is one thing about me is everything I work on, I put in 101% of myself, right? It could be something as simple as writing an assignment, or it could be something as simple as organizing a tea party, or just whatever it is. I put 101% of myself because I believe the thing is, people only keep you around as long as you're valuable. How you are valuable is how much of yourself do you grow? Do you stretch? How much value do you provide to the people around you, right? Because people do not want to keep people around who are not people of value. Even in friendships, your closest friends are those who provide value. It could be the fact that the person always consoles you and always write what to tell you, but it's a value exchange world, and that's what it that's so my value proposition is how much of myself I put into my work, into the stuff I produce. I mean, and there's evidence. There's so many lessons I failed from, but at the same time, there's so many amazing stuff that I have learned out of the stuff I failed from. And this goes to everybody. You find your niche. I'm an extrovert. I'm very loud, right? I'm
Oh,
an
please.
extrovert. I'm very loud. Like, you will know when I'm in the building. You will know when I'm in a room. Find a way for that to provide value to other people. So for me, it means I'm not shy to get into a room. It means I don't mind speaking to whoever I need to speak to or speaking my mind. It means I will show up for my friends and celebrate them loudly. So my thing, and kind of like my advice to others or even anyone listening, is don't try to be like someone else, right? Your value is not in you being someone else. It's in what do you have now? What type of personality do you have now? And how can that provide value to the people around you? So, yeah.
All right, what's your why? What gets you?
Ah,
I wouldn't
oh.
be doing Bella justice if I didn't ask you this question.
My why is, let me see. Why I keep doing what I'm doing is because I know that to create the world I want to live in, or to create a better world, every person has to play their part. So if I sit down and wait for five others to do their part, we will never get things done, right? If I sit down and say, well, Aka is mentoring young people, so why do I even need to mentor them? What I'm doing is I'm putting all the burden on Aka and waiting for Aka to make it a perfect system. What if five others thought the same way and said, let's put our hands together and support each other? We could achieve greater. So my why is just, what are the five steps I can take towards the thousand steps to get to create a better world? So, yeah.
That's so good. You're really getting good at this.
I know, right? Like, I'm listening to myself and I'm like, okay, but if we really think about it,
It's
Aka must just pay me in leaps and bounds because
a
Aka, picking up the bill for the next time. No, I'm playing, but
No,
yeah.
I'm
Oh, wow. But yeah, Bella, I've
Yes.
done your proud. Bella, if you listen to me, I have done your
Yeah.
proud.
I'm texting her now and say your girls are not embarrassing you around the world, girl.
Yeah.
Going back to why, we had a whole 2 weeks of understanding what your why is. We were breathing why do you do this? Why do you do that?
At some point, it felt like a very irritating conversation because, like, all you had to do was just keep asking why. Like, yo, bro, why? Why? Yeah, but.
But somebody did ask me. Samuel Sinek says that it's just not, it's the content and context matter, right? Depending where you
Yeah.
are. When you don't ask why something or why one decision is made, then you do not know what to base your decision on, right? So it's actually annoying. People find it annoying that I always ask, why? What's the content? What's the context behind what you're saying, right? Because I wouldn't want to make my decision half-heartedly, or I'll actually be making a biased decision because I do not know why a decision was made. And if you did, like, what's the one thing you took away from our Y classes in America?
One thing is, if you don't know your why, it's easy for you to give up. It's easy for you to get lost in the noise. My why has kept, I was telling Aka about a frustration I had with regards to delay for my leadership project. The thing that kept me was my why. Understanding why I'm doing something, it keeps you sane, and it kind of is like your guiding moral compass on days where it's almost impossible, right, to see a way out. Your why is that thing that says your guiding compass. It reminds you of why am I doing this in the first place? Because I kid you not, sometimes life happens, your personal life happens, you get burnt out, and you just don't want to do what you're doing anymore. Your why, and also, yeah, that's, I can say a lot about my why, but also people won't want to partner with you, or people won't want to jump on your project if you yourself don't know your why. It's your selling point. It's what people buy into. People don't buy into people, they buy into the why of the people. So, yeah.
That makes so much sense. How it's okay for you to change your mind. I think it's something that we don't give ourselves chance, as you always think if you believed in one thing today, it should be the same thing you should believe in tomorrow. No, it doesn't have to. You can actually just grow and evolve. What you believed in yesterday, and if you don't believe in the same thing, it's okay to change your mind. I tell myself that every day. If I'm working on something and it doesn't work out, there's no shame in that. At least I tried. Now I know how to do something different. There's something you mentioned earlier about Madeleine K. O'Brien, the former first secretary of states, the state's government, right? My question is talking about two boxes. It's my favorite thing. I always, on my journal somewhere, every 3 months, I write the two boxes. They took the so two box. What? How did they put it? The things you
So,
have in your two boxes. Yeah, remind me that. Yeah.
So it's basically your diplomatic tool, your toolbox. Like you rightly say that it's your it's a toolbox.
Okay, so I wanted to give people context on what I mean. So when they mean the toolbox, she had things that were always in her toolbox, like excuses or information. Also, she used her pins as a way to communicate something. So on my end, personally, when I say what's in my toolbox, I talk about my network. My passion, my vision, and maybe my business, my family, and other skill sets I might have. Those are just rough examples of some of the things, some things that give me competitive advantage against other people. And I did ask you about your competitive advantage. So I would like to know what are some of these tools that are in your toolbox in terms of skill sets that give you competitive advantage? Yeah.
I love the example you gave of Madeleine K. Albright and how she used pins. All of us got a pin, and even now, whenever I'm going into a meeting that I feel is high stakes or something that kind of feel like, oh my God, I need courage, I always wear the pin. And with her pins, she always gave a message, right? And particularly the pins we have is breaking the glass ceiling, which is something I guess all of my girls are doing, and they're doing so beautifully. My toolbox. My toolbox is, I think I am like I said, I am an extrovert, right? So I'm not afraid to speak my mind, and I'm not afraid to try and fail. Sometimes a lot of people get so stuck in the what if I fail or other things. I'm a short person. If you're like me, you're short. If you're like me, sometimes you feel you're in rooms where you're not qualified. But my extroverted nature just allows me to stand up straight and say, because I'm in this room, I'm gonna do it. The other thing in my toolbox is really my faith. And for different people, that translates to different things. But my faith really acts like a big toolbox that I rely on, in especially very tricky situations. But yeah, I think my faith and my personality, I take advantage, full advantage. And once again, not just to bring it back to our Susie experience, it's because of that I understood my personality a whole lot more. Shout out to Dr. Shoemaker. We had a whole conversation and a whole breakdown of our personality. So I understand my personality. From that very report, I understand how I work better. I understand how I work with different people of different personalities. So it's just knowing my personality and knowing how to utilize it in different situations has really helped. And I love to read. Right. And that's just something you can't take away from me. I love to do my research and read it in between lines. And that's really helped, especially in rooms where I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to say? Because I am a very curious person. It's allowed me to know a bit of this, a bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, now that gave me a little bit of clarity of what tools are in my toolbox. I really forget who I am sometimes, just putting it out there. Like I forget that I'm the girl and you're the girl half of the time. And it feels good, but it also has its advantages and disadvantages.
I mean,
Yes.
yeah. For people who don't understand you, it might seem like you're being cocky or you're being proud. But there's the thing about knowing who you are and living your truth is it can sometimes get lonely, and that's the truth, because you know the standard at which you hold yourself in esteem. So anything below that standard is unacceptable, right? So yeah.
And it also means, for me, it comes from a place where I don't want to show off. You know what I mean? Like, I do all this stuff, but I don't want to be too loud about it. I would say on a scale 1 to 10, I'm okay loud. Like, I do let people know, but I don't want it to get to my head, kind of thing. But then I've also met people where they are the people. When we're in South Africa, you're next to these guys, and they are running businesses. Their businesses are solving really important problems in Africa, in their country. And they don't want to own that to that. They don't want their flowers. Yes. So one thing we learned and I like about Bella and was people don't like receiving their flowers. You know what I mean? If you're doing great, if you're saving the world, receive your flowers. I don't like receiving my flowers till now. So yeah, I think that's where my point comes in. And other people are just like, yo, yeah, we know you're doing that. But yeah, but it's okay for people to communicate the way they want to communicate. And it's okay for us to give people their flowers. And it's okay for you as a person to receive your flowers.
Most definitely. The thing is, when you are an overachiever, like most, when you're an overachiever or you have certain goals and plans in mind for yourself, sometimes it's so easy to lose focus that 5 years ago, this place that you're in is the very place that you wanted to be in. And receiving your flowers helps on days where it feels like you're doing everything wrong, or on days where it feels like stuff is not working, because trust me, the five victories come with 100 failures. So on the days where you feel like everything's failing, sometimes those flowers are all that keep you going because they remind you that the impact you've had on people is very tangible. So, yeah.
Yeah, so whoever is listening to this, when you get a compliment, say thank you. Yeah, say thank you and receive your flowers.
Yes,
That's
just
my, if you don't,
keep.
anything you take from this conversation, just remember it's okay to say thank you, receive your flowers, and just be grateful for that.
You're absolutely right.
So I know you'll be working on something, which is a Leadership for Change project, and I just want
Yes, I'm so
I
excited.
know I'll be supporting you in that. I'm pretty excited to see how that turns out, and I just want, surprisingly, you're working on your Leadership for Change project, right? I'll be
Yeah.
working on mine through you.
Yep, let's do
Smart.
this. Let's do
Smart.
this.
I would like us to just like you to just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So I can't give all the details just yet, but basically one of the passions I have is working with people, young women, young ladies and children who've been abused, especially being victims of gender-based violence. But my biggest pain is sexual abuse and abuse in relationships and toxic relationships and everything that revolves around that. And for me, my approach has always been let's take a holistic view towards the healing process. So let's not just give people skills or money and say, look, that we're taking you away. Here's a business, or here's money to relocate somewhere, or here we're going to integrate into a new society, or here we're going to give you self-defense classes, or just giving them therapy. My project is taking a holistic view as to how we relate with these people. So for everything from mentorship to everything from mentorship to self-defense to therapy to group therapy and community and to a follow-on program. That's really what my project is, and I'm not doing it alone. I am working, like Aga said, really excited to work with her once again, and I'm working with other organizations as well, because there are really other amazing organizations that have done just as amazing things, and I'm just trying to learn from them and just trying to see how can we get two and two and four and work together. Shout out to the Healing Hope Foundation, because those are one of the main people I'm working with on this project as well. Yeah, I'm really excited, and just look out on my socials and other socials, and we'll definitely
Don't
give you more details.
look out too much on my socials. Look at all my socials. We're gonna add her socials to the LinkedIn. Someone told me my socials don't reflect my actual life sometimes.
Just don't check my Instagram. Just don't check my Instagram. If you want to take me
Especially
seriously,
the Instagram part. Like, you would never
just
see this
don't
from
check my. Don't just yeah. Like yo, it's a different life.
It's a whole different
Yeah.
hobby. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but I'm very proud of you and
Thank
excited that
you.
you're one of the few people I get to choose to work with this winter. And I'm excited that I will be doing everything from scratch, and I'll be doing my part, my little part, to support you in this endeavor, which is, yeah, something I really do look forward to. And yeah, so what's your favorite memory of yourself in the US during the SUSE program?
That's a very hard question. And a lot of favorite memories that see me. Oof, we go. Favorite memory. That I got on the plane coming back to Zambia. I am very proud of that memory
You
because
got
that that I got on the flight coming back home.
You
Okay.
wait, Byron, that was a joke, right? Because what if the
Yeah,
US embassy is listening to this?
I'm
That was a
playing.
joke.
That was
No,
a joke.
that was a joke. That was a joke. I am
Because I
playing.
know I have US embassy people always like, that was a joke,
That
right?
was I am definitely that was a joke. My favorite
That's a
memory.
miracle, yeah.
My favorite memory was I think the first day of class. Surprisingly, I think I sat with on the same table with Bella and a few others on the table. Why that is my favorite memory was just I remember in that class, Dr. Alicia said something. She said, "Look around you. These are your sisters for a lifetime, and the next 5 weeks are about to change your whole life." At that point, I was like, "Nah,
Yeah, joking.
this is BS. This is a lie." But see it now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it even goes to down to the little things that if I post a picture on Instagram, everyone else cannot like it, but I know my Susie sisters will show up on it. Oh, Lord, my Susie sisters will
I'm
show up.
guaranteed of 3 likes, 23 likes,
Yes,
definitely. Maybe even 23 comments.
yes,
Definitely.
from my
They'll hype
Susie
you up for
sisters.
anything.
Exactly. And we'll have calls and we'll catch up. And one of my best friends now is American, and me and Olivia literally talk every week. And me and Olivia are so different, yet so the same. Shout out to you, best friend. We're
I'm
so
jealous.
different. Yes. We're so different, yet we're so the same. But that was my favorite memory because at that point, I didn't know that room would change my life, you know. All the girls are doing really amazing things, and it pushes you to know that there's so much more you can do, right? And yeah, Anusha, who was my dopest roommate, shout out to you, and Iman, and
I
you
was
don't know
about
that
to say, you're
this.
saying shout out to Anusha for being your dopest Iman roommate. I'm about to test Iman to say there's a Judas here.
No, and Iman as well.
I'm
Iman
telling
was
everybody to listen to
amazing.
this because everybody will have a problem. Sorry.
Iman was a caring roommate, and I remember for a
Was
bit,
crazy.
and for a bit as well, I shared my room with Iman I shared my room with Iman. I shared my room with Anusha.
Who's the
And
third one? You can't remember.
I want to say how to say it. I want to categorize what I'm about to say before I get into it. So I've said Anusha was dope, said Iman was caring. Relax, I find the third adjective. finding an adjective.
Texting. Let me text. Who was your third roommate?
I'm not telling you, such a grand lie for me.
I'm about to ask the group. You might as well tell me.
No. You know,
I'm asking.
in this life
Should
we
I
must
ask them?
learn. In
Should I
this life
ask
we must. You see, guys, there's people who are your Judases. It's your own friends. Your Judases are
I want
people
to know
like.
who your third roommate was. Maybe I can give you an adjective. On a serious note, though. Yeah. Who was your roommate in
Wait.
St. Louis?
No, I know. Layla is
Oh
caring.
my goodness, sweet Layla.
The most caring person in the pla on the planet. Layla is so sweet and so calm. And at that point in that room, I didn't know that I would share those memories with those ladies. It was just, we've come, we've learned, we'll see America. But beyond even just seeing America or the leadership project or the follow-on program or the rest of our lives or the backpack trip through Europe that we want to do,
Somebody's saying that
it's how we're going to people's weddings
I
in
can't wait for a
different
wedding back
countries.
next year. I know. The Pakistan wedding, guys. Sorry to the Pakistan wedding. I'm out.
So it's those things, and in that moment and in that room, you do not know that. I didn't know actually that that would all happen, but that very memory was like the start of the rest of my life ever since. So, yeah.
I like that for you. I had the coolest roommates ever as well, but this is not about me. A quick one. So you get to have an opportunity to ask me a question.
Oh,
So,
yes.
yeah. What's that sounds
What?
evil. Wow. Okay. That's evil.
What was
Yeah.
your least favorite memory from our time in America?
Ooh.
I wanted to ask a deeper one, but I remember that there are people listening who look up to me apparently. But yes, I don't know if you lie, I'll know. But let's go. Tell us.
My least favorite memory was I have two. So during that period, I had a cool, fun, romantic relationship with somebody, and it ended up messy. And when I was in the States, right, it got so messy. It was a whole love triangle thing.
Oh, in the
And
garden, guys, in public, just
was so messy. And that's the one. And I'll give context. The other one was when somebody did not respect my boundaries, and then they would gaslight me to make me feel like I'm crazy. That was like, and because of that, the aftermath was that the last 2 weeks in the United States, I was anxious. Very anxious. I got to have my family come to where I was, which was in Kansas. My family is mostly in New York and Connecticut. And I was just so happy to see my family. Same thing happened when I was in South Africa. Something crazy happened, and I got to see family. I'm grateful that my family is around the world, guys. That's like, thanks for working hard for the rest of us. But yeah, that's like my least favorite, because I was so anxious for 2 weeks, and I was emotional. I was going through therapy. I was on the edge. I was having panic attacks. I got back to Zambia. I experienced panic attacks for like 4 months. Like, I started to feel better, November, December. So you can just realize how much people's decisions can impact you. So yeah, the breakup was messy. The person was not really nice. She was unkind. And yeah, my therapist sort of says set the boundaries and cut people off. So I cut both of them out of my life completely. But yeah, those were my least favorite memories, is knowing that 2 weeks I was anxious and having panic attacks. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm just so strong for that. I remember that period and it was really
Everybody knew.
crazy.
It's
Yeah, it was
crazy.
re really crazy, especially for someone like he was like full of life to just. And but I also think it also speaks to one how it's okay not to be okay. And at any point, you know, we all can have a mental health breakdown at any point, but it's okay to seek help. And yeah, so I'm so happy that you're in such a better place now.
I wouldn't say
And
I'm in such a better place. I'm just in a different space. Different issues, different stuff. But yeah, I'm really, and this is like one of the reasons why I'm stepping back work-wise, right? We had this conversation earlier when I said I'm cutting down of projects or people I'm working with, because I don't feel like I'm at my best mentally to take up and work with on so many projects. Because when I'm at a high, I'm a very overachiever, high productive person, and that does take a lot of stress. Like, it takes time and it's stressful. So just, I'm in a different space mentally, and I'm going through other stuff that have just recently happened. But yeah, I'm actually but in a better space when it comes to what happened last year, and set me up for like the type of boundaries I have with people, calling out people. Also just removing people out of my life when I'm just saying, yeah, when I talk to you, you make me anxious. I'm leaving you out of it. So yeah, it's interesting though. But thanks. Yeah, I'm proud of myself too for surviving that season. Still my favorite season though, but yeah, I'm glad I survived.
I think all of us had very crazy
You
situations
did
happen to.
too. Yeah.
I lost someone who was a mom figure in my life. In fact, my aunt was my mom because she raised me. I lost her while we were in the States, and they buried her while I was still there. And I remember that was the final week, and our flight just misbehaved when we're coming back, and there were so many things as well that happened. But I think having my people around me helped in that time, because I remember everyone was like really supportive. I remember the day after it happened and I showed up for class, and I was like, "Karen, are you okay?" And Iman would force me to eat and sleep, and just Alexandra would just bring me coffee every 5 seconds or tea.
I just want to say this. Sorry to cut you short.
Sure.
Alexandra was the sweetest human being on earth. She
I
texted me and
know.
said, I'm like, Alex, you're the sweetest person on earth. Like, do you hear that? But anyway, please go on.
Yeah, so it's that. And at that period, I was not at my best emotionally or physically. I remember we're at the airport and we're in Qatar and we're just sleeping because our flights kept being changed. The time kept being changed. And me and Naka just sat at some point and we're just like,
I was
okay,
watching
now
a
let's.
Korean series.
Yes. And it was just that, like having someone understand that sometimes I don't want to talk and be in my own space, but then being close enough for when you need something. Yeah, I think that really, really did help. And even when I came back, that I remember for the first 2 weeks, the girls would constantly check on me. Just feeling that love from everyone just really helped that season and period I was in.
Yeah, this was ten of events. Never, nothing with me ever goes as planned. But my favorite question is, what do you look forward to?
I look forward to seeing the girls again. I miss them so much and just going on trips. I look forward to new adventures and just celebrating even more wins. The girls have been doing so amazing all across the world, and for me, I'm so proud. I'm always like the first person to like, look, this is my sister and look at what she's doing. And just personally, I just look forward to just being a better leader and a better adaptive leader, and just pouring back into community and to and into a younger person. And just showing them and teaching them from the very mistakes that I made. So, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's so good. I'm gonna end with two quotes. One, I don't know if this is from the same person, but Dr. Mary, they always like talking to Dr. Mary and Dr. Alicia always used to talk about, I think it's Dr. Alicia, get off the dance floor and go on the balcony. And what that means is sometimes what you need to do is remove yourself from whatever situation you're in. And go on the balcony and look at it at a third party point of view to say, what could I have done differently? My favorite is you might be going back, but you're moving forward. And this is one thing we're told repeatedly during our last week was, we know you're going back to your respective countries, but you're not going back to who you were. You're going back, but you'll still be moving forward. And this is for everybody that's going through a new season, especially for those that graduated, like me, right? Might be going back home to your parents' house. You might be going back to work. But always remember that you're a different person and you're moving forward. So going back doesn't mean you're going back the same life. It just means, you're moving forward. So that's. This marks the end of our episode. Farin, thank you so much for showing up. Thank you for us rescheduling time, for us just showing up and being in this space. Thank you so much for being a sister, a sister, my friend. And yeah, it does feel good to have somebody in your corner screaming and shouting your name and giving you different opportunities to just thrive. So yeah, thank you so much, Farin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was beautiful. And I'm so glad I get to be a part of it.
Yay! So, guys, this is the end of today's episode, and this is like the third episode on the Passport series. I hope you can let us know what you think. And hey, guys, one thing I've noticed about the podcast is you're not sharing or subscribing. So if you're listening to this, please subscribe. You're at the end, so it meant this conversation was insightful and it made a little bit of sense to you and probably will help you. And if you think it's gonna help somebody, your friend, your friends, please share it to them and let them subscribe and follow us on our different platforms. But hey, this is the end of the Diary 101 episode. Yeah, and I'm your girl, Aka. Bye.